At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Hope everyone's having a great Thursday morning. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. We have a fun show planned for you today. We'll get into a little DFS action, talk about the NBA Finals, which of course begin tonight with the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Also, my longtime friend Brad Ziegler will be on the show coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk some fantasy football from the Major League Baseball clubhouse as well. But Davis, good morning to you. I know it's a big night, of course, in the NBA. We finally get the main course of the league. We've waited a long time, October, November, December, January. I mean, has it been really 8 months of this NBA season? But it finally begins tonight. In the next week, we're going to crown a champion.
We are. I'm pretty excited for game one. I do think the Warriors, I think the Warriors are just a very difficult matchup for the Boston Celtics. I was kind of pondering this, you know, if the Warriors could have picked one of the teams, Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn. I mean, I think they probably would have picked Miami. Honestly, I think Miami is a really bad matchup with their lack of 3-point shooting. But I definitely think that the Warriors would prefer to play the Boston Celtics than the Milwaukee Bucks. For example, they just don't really have a guy to throw at Giannis. I mean, I believe there's not a 7-footer on the roster for the Golden State Warriors. Boston, they got to be tired, right? I mean, these guys have to be exhausted. They have had two absolute wars, 7-game series against the Bucks and against the Heat. Meanwhile, the Golden State Warriors, 5-game series in the conference finals. I guess they kind of scuffle a little bit against Memphis, but I am very excited to see how game one goes.
Yeah, Boston finishing their 7-game series in Miami on Sunday, traveling back to Boston on Monday, and then traveling to California on Wednesday. We'll see if that does affect anything in the NBA Finals. I think that sort of, you know, settles itself after the first game of the series, Davis, but you could be right. Maybe Golden State with a little bit of an edge tonight. That's where we'll begin with our headlines here on the show. The tip-off will be later tonight. We'll see if we can stay up for the entire thing, but if not, we'll just recap it for you right here on Fantasy Sports Today tomorrow morning. Game one tonight, Golden State, Boston for the NBA championship. Travis Etienne of the Jacksonville Jaguars says he would love to have the Deebo Samuel role. Seems like everybody is talking about being Deebo Samuel this season. Etienne did not play all of last year. How about the Rangers just shocking the Lightning to take a 1-0 series lead? This game was not particularly close after the first period, and Ranger fans are feeling really good about their chances to advance to the Stanley Cup final. And also, Drew Timmy is going to return for his final season. to play at Gonzaga, so not going to be involved in the upcoming NBA draft. No doubt about that. But, you know, certainly we hear all these stories, Davis. I know you're eating them up. You're loving them. All the OTAs, this player is going to be this, and this guy looks great, and he's wearing shorts, and he's so fast. But look, I mean, ETN, when it comes down to fantasy football season, and we're going to be talking about that coming up probably in about a month from now, it'll be an interesting name to discuss just simply because we didn't see him at all last year.
I'm really into Travis Etienne for fantasy football. You know, there are a couple reasons. The first being James Robinson. Yeah, I mean, we are 15 weeks away from the beginning of the NFL season. James Robinson has not returned to practice. You know, I think that some of our expectations for how guys are going to return from Achilles injuries probably got skewed by Cam Akers coming back so early last season. But this is generally a 9 to 12 month injury. I would be surprised if James Robinson, you know, is not on the physically unable to perform list when we get to week one of the NFL season. And Etienne, of course, played in college with Trevor Lawrence. I think that the organizational hierarchy there definitely wanted to give Trevor Lawrence one of his binkies in Travis Etienne. But probably the biggest reason why I am interested in investing in Christian Kirk and Trevor Lawrence, especially Etienne, who I think is a pretty special player, is this is probably our last chance to really capitalize on the fact that Urban Meyer is you know, basically the worst NFL coach that we've seen, I don't know, last 5 years, 10 years, kind of Hugh Jackson level of incompetence from Urban Meyer. I think the Jaguars are going to look a lot better this year. I think they're going to be more well-prepared. I think the offense is going to work cleaner. I think the defense should be a little bit better. And I mean, this is a talented offense, right? Trevor Lawrence lauded as the number one overall pick for like the last 5 years, ETN. Christian Kirk is overpaid, but still a good wide receiver. Marvin Jones, competent. Evan Ingram, pretty competent. So I'm pretty into ETN for fantasy football.
Yeah, I would say that for me, you know, when it comes to players individually, you know, Davis, you and I talk a lot about this. I'm very big into the games that I see in college. And that's kind of my narrative, honestly, here on the show. If I see a guy playing college, like Debo, if I see a guy playing college and I see him play at a very high level and they play on a pretty good team, then I'm usually in on that player. And I'm willing to, as you would say, Davis, die on the hill. Now, I've been wrong before. I thought Jalen Reagor was going to be really good in the NFL. Completely wrong about that. But Davis, if Trevor Lawrence is not a good quarterback in the NFL, take me down with the ship. I watched this guy play for too long, and that's why I'm with you on that. I think Lawrence is going to be great.
Yeah, I don't know about great. I mean, I definitely am adjusting my expectations a little bit based on how lost he is. But I do think, I mean, at worst, it feels like he's going to be like a Kirk Cousins type.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Right? Like maybe not a guy you win because of, but a guy that you can win with.
Yeah, I'm still a very big fan. And I'm above the Kirk Cousins. I think the interceptions to me may be the one mishap that wasn't at Clemson that seems to be in the NFL, but I'm still in on him. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to have a fun conversation with former big league pitcher Brad Ziegler, who, of course, played fantasy football and still plays for many years. He's a commissioner, a player. I want to share his thoughts on this funny story in baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish. Davis will be back with me in just a minute. We're joined now by former Major League pitcher Brad Ziegler, of course, pitched 11 years in Major League Baseball. Tremendous career with the Oakland Athletics, Arizona Diamondbacks, the Boston Red Sox, Miami Marlins, and then back to the Diamondbacks, unfortunately, at the end of his... I say unfortunately because he was here in Miami. I had him here, and then he left. And he left me behind, is Brad Ziegler.
Totally my choice, too.
He was traded. And Brad, you know, one thing I want to say before we start, Brad, absolutely instrumental over the course of the many years that he's been in the big leagues in my career as far as reporting, teaching me so many things about the game, how to cover, how to speak to players. I honestly would not be here if it was not for Brad Ziegler. He did help me tremendously. Thank you again for always bailing me out, coming on the show today. How are you?
No problem. That's a high praise because I feel like you taught me a lot too about the industry and you know, just trying to find a niche after my playing career, and you were always right there to help, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, always will be longtime friends, no doubt about that. So Brad bails us out. We need a guest on the show to talk about this craziness with this fantasy football story that's been going on. By now, let me give the 30-second synopsis for people who are joining us for the first time. They have no idea. Tommy Pham played in a fantasy league that was commissioned by Mike Trout. Jock Peterson was in the league too. He put a player on injured reserve that Tommy Pham thought that he shouldn't have in Jeff Wilson Jr. They show up at a game. Tommy Pham slaps him in the face. He's suspended 3 games. Jock Peterson shows all the texts and the chats that's going on. They're having fun. They're going back and forth. Let's just begin with this. You're seeing the story unfold, Brad. What are you thinking as you're watching this happen?
It's kind of surreal in the sense of like, I've obviously had, I've commissioned a bunch of leagues. I've been in a ton of leagues that I wasn't a commissioner of. And if I had an issue with a player, I'd just discussed it with him over text, like private text. He obviously had, you know, Jock's phone number. Like, why not just text him about it and work through it? And if at some point it's like, hey, like, you know, we're not going to come to an agreement, like you leave the league, fine, but not like, I've never seen anything come to blows. At least when there wasn't alcohol involved, I'll say that. I'm assuming there was no alcohol involved during batting practice.
Right, right. I mean, you're leading me down a road here that I wasn't sure I was going to go here today. Maybe I will. So you said I wasn't 100% sure if you were the actual commissioner in the clubhouse of the fantasy leagues, but I guess you're saying that you were. I didn't know if that was 100% the case. But how many times were you commissioner of a fantasy league on when you were playing in Major League Baseball?
A decent amount. I did. The ones in Arizona, I mostly helped set up the league. Once the league was actually running, I don't know that I was a commissioner in any of them. It was more just like, hey, you need to change these settings to make, you know, this is what, you know, the scenario is. But, you know, I'm all for, you know, you set the rules in advance. And if it's something you didn't address and didn't talk about it, that's the commissioner's fault, not the players in the league's fault. And you can't change the rules mid-season. Like that just... like whatever the scenario, you can't change the rules midseason. And so I, you know, verbalized that to any league I was playing in, where if that was the case, then we need to, you know, we got to play it out the way it is now and we can modify it next year.
Yeah. And I think the dynamic that people don't understand is that, and Brad, you obviously very savvy fantasy football player, you've been doing this for a long time. It's like a very big passion of yours. So with what Jock Peterson did, essentially putting Jeff Wilson Jr., who was out on the IR, was like kind of like a league loophole, so to speak, for people who are novice fantasy football players. But, you know, certainly the result from all of this is really what's the shocking part of this. So I guess I would ask you, historically speaking, has anything come close to this in leagues that you have commissioned or played in where people thought they were sort of like circumventing or even breaking the rules?
Yeah, it's definitely happened. You know, the league that I'm in with you, it's a super complicated league with contracts and salary caps and, you know, cap penalties if you cut guys and all this stuff. And there have definitely been guys that tried to exploit loopholes, but and it sucked. Like we realized it at the time. It's like, shoot, this is a loophole we need to close, but we can't do anything about it right now. Like we just have to let it play out the rest of the season. You know, from what I've gathered, it sounds like, you know, he put Jeff Wilson was listed as out, but not on the IR. He put him on the IR because the website allowed it. It sounds like the rules maybe did not allow that. The league rules, if and that's the question is, was this discussed prior to the season or not? Because if it wasn't discussed and the website allowed it, then you kind of just go with the default and you got to play through the rest of the season. And I feel bad for Mike Trout in this scenario because his name gets kind of drug into it and he has nothing to do with it. And I've been that way as a commissioner. Like, if you do your job as a commissioner, no one, like, you're like the only person who's ever complimented me as a commissioner. Everybody else is like, you know, they either have nothing to say or they only have bad things to say.
Yeah. I think that's sort of the problem is that, as you mentioned, for people who don't play, there's so much media that are just talking about the story that may not play fantasy football. They think the commissioner's like heavily involved throughout the course of the season. As you mentioned, it's kind of like set it and forget it, more or less. Most leagues are like that at the beginning of the season. So I guess, you know, playing it forward, Brad, we're seeing like the extreme responses to this, which is, oh my gosh, baseball players in the clubhouse are putting down thousands of dollars on fantasy teams. Like, this is nothing new, and I've known about this played, as you know, in these leagues sure. too. But I guess it does open up the question at this point, is there going to be an extreme response, do you think, where Major League Baseball gets involved and is like, whoa, you guys can't be putting $5,000-$10,000 on fantasy football leagues while the season is going on and drafting, you know, during the season as well. Do you think that there's any fallout, or this is just gets done with and we move on?
No, I don't think there'll be any fallout. This, like, fantasy football is one of the things that can bring a clubhouse really close together, especially late in the year. Like, you've dealt with, you know, the season for 120 games, and it's kind of, you know, especially if your team's not a contender, it's become a little bit of a grind late in the season. Like, that's something that kind of brings everybody back together and creates energy in the locker room. I mean, almost all football players or all baseball players like football. So when college football gets going in August, when the NFL gets going in September, it's on in the locker room all the time, way more than MLB Network or any baseball games. And so it's just the nature of the game. Like, you don't want guys to be just completely locked in on baseball all the time, because then they are so up and down. And I think outside interests allow them to, you know, to have some balance in their lives, you know, whether it's their family or whatever else is going on. You can't just focus on baseball nonstop, or it becomes just consuming to you, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah. Let me end with this, Brad. I know this is just your opinion, and you played in the league when Tommy Pham was in the league. Do you think Tommy Pham is going to have a hard time getting a gig moving forward over this? Or do you think that, again, people will just look at this as a silly spat? I mean, he did slap Peterson. He did get a 3-game suspension. There are some that I've talked to that are like, oh my gosh, Tommy Pham like brought this all to light. I'm just talking about specific what the ramifications from this are. Do you think he gets a major league contract next year? He continues to play baseball. You think teams look at him like, oh my gosh, this is the fantasy football guy. We don't want him on our team.
I don't think it'll affect his baseball outlooks. I think that'll be solely determined by his, you know, how well he performs on the field. But inside that locker room, you're going to have a hard time getting him into a fantasy league. That's for sure. Like, when August rolls around and they're starting to pick their draft order or whatever, like, I would be adamant about him not being in my league, because anybody that wants to handle any kind of issue like that with the way he handled it is not somebody I would even want to be around, let alone having a fantasy league.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Zig, it is great to catch up with you. It is great to see you and talking some fantasy for sure. And looking forward to us playing against each other with a team that I can finally feel good about after 5 years in fantasy football. So again, thank you so much for all that you've done for me, no doubt. Best to you and your family. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Craig.
All right, Brad Ziegler with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Brad Ziegler, following the Kansas City Chiefs. And a lot of fantasy football as well. We'll be back with plenty more. Davis will join me next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Nish, David Matic back with me. Of course, we're going to help you out right now, make a little money on the DFS side We're going to take care of NBA Finals Game 1. So, Davis, I guess I will begin with this. How many of these games are we going to have? How many of these DFS Finals games do you think we're going to have? We're going to have four, we're going to have five, six, seven. Without giving me the indication of the winner, I'm going to ask you that later. How many times do you think we'll be previewing these games?
I definitely don't think four. I see no way the Boston Celtics sweep, and I would give it like, I don't know, 1% or 2% probability that the Warriors end up sweeping. I think six games is probably the most likely. Both teams hold serve for the first five games, right? So they just win their home games, and then we will have a game six in Boston. And I think that is going to be a really tight game because, you know, by game six, no more adjustments to be made. There's nothing Kerr can do. There's nothing that, you know, MA Udoka can do. It's just like roll the ball out and let the guys, you know, kind of embrace the moment, which is what happened in Heat Celtics. I mean, by game seven, there was nothing left that those coach, there were no surprises, no wrinkles that they were going to throw out that was going to change the opposing team's game plan. And, you know, Jimmy Butler almost brought it home. And that's kind of what it's going to be here, where I think a lot of the results of these games is going to be, how well does Tatum play? You know, can Tatum have an effective field goal percentage of 50% or higher? And, you know, Klay is a very good player, but he has not been shooting well from three up until the final game against the Mavericks. And I think they will definitely need Klay Thompson to be making 38, 39, 40% of his three-pointers here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we're probably in for five or six would be my opinion. I think Golden State wins the series. But again, I honestly watched a lot more of Boston than I did Golden State closely. And so while I was impressed with Boston's defense, I just don't know. Like, I agree with you. Like, can they hang with Golden State in a game where Curry gets hot and Wiggins gets hot? I don't know. Okay, so is there any, before we get to the names, any strategy that changes in the finals? You know, there's more timeouts, there's more longer breaks. I mean, I don't know. Like, is there an edge somewhere here or there? You've played this for many years. Before we get to the line of any difference, or is this just like another playoff game?
I mean, I think it's kind of just more the starters are going to play a lot of minutes. Probably not so much in game one, but by the time we get to game four, game five, you know, for example, I think like Peyton Pritchard is going to be in the rotation for the Boston Celtics in these first two games that they're playing in Oakland. By game five, game six, I would imagine that Peyton Pritchard is out of the rotation. If we see any Daniel Theis minutes at all, I think they'll be gone a little bit later in the series. And I guess one of the really interesting things, if you are going to be grinding these single game slates, is to figure out what the Warriors are doing with their bench, because their best lineup on offense is the quote unquote pool party lineup. So that is Curry, Klay, Poole, Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond. That's kind of their answer. Remember the old death lineup with Iguodala in it. But I don't know if they're going to be able to get away with that lineup because Boston plays pretty big, right? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum pretty big in the backcourt, and they are going to play Al Horford, Robert Williams, and Grant Williams all together some. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a pretty troublesome spot to try and go small against. So I'm wondering, you know, do we get Nemanja Bjelica in this series? Do we get Moses Moody or Kuminga playing, you know, 10, 15 minutes in this series as kind of a way to add some size, you know, playing Bjelica and Draymond together? That's not something the Warriors have done in this playoffs, but I could see them doing that, playing Bjelica instead of Kevon Looney to add some shooting, but also have some size in those lineups.
All right, so that being said, let's take a look at the pricing as we kind of set the stage for the finals tonight. And let's, you know, walk you through who you may be selecting. Marcus Smart is going to be leading the way here. He will be in the captain spot, followed by Jordan Poole. And immediately after that, we're going to move over and we're going to go with Jason Tatum. He is priced at over 10,000. We have Derek White at a little bit over 5, Klay Thompson a little bit over 7, and then Andrew Wiggins at 70, I believe it's 72 or 7,300.
Yeah, so this lineup is, I mean, one, I think Tatum is probably going to end up in the optimal lineups a huge chunk of the time, whereas I'm not certain, especially to start the series, that Steph Curry is going to be, you know, Curry is priced like an elite player. He's priced at $10,200. That's only $400 less than Tatum. And I think, you know, I mean, Tatum in some of these Miami games was taking literally like 30, 32 shots per game, whereas Curry's field, you know, his usage rate has actually been a little bit lower in the playoffs than you would anticipate. For example, against Dallas, he only took more than 17 shots twice. The Memphis series, much more competitive, right? Remember, Memphis was really pushing on the Golden State Warriors, and we saw a little bit more of Curry being really ball dominant, took 17 threes in one game, took 14 threes in another. And I guess it's kind of, you know, giving away my pick for tonight, but I do think the Golden State Warriors are going to win this first game. Zach Lowe and Kevin Pelton were talking about this on the Low Post this week, which is like, there are 29 teams in the NBA who all kind of play the same way. Lots of pick and roll, you know, get the ball to your shooters in the corner. The Warriors, totally different, right? They run the fewest pick and rolls of any team that made the playoffs, so that automatically makes them a different team to play against. And so much of their passing comes from the interior, because that's why Draymond is actually good. You know, you kind of watch Draymond and you're like, wait, this guy is all NBA. This guy is considered, you know, one of the, a max player on this team. Like he doesn't look like he should. So I'm opting for Tatum over Curry, and also giving it away. I think that this is one of the games where they'll be able to sneak in 28, 29 minutes of Poole, because I think they'll need the offense a little bit. But I would not be surprised if by game three, we are talking about, you know, Poole playing 14 minutes a night. You know, he gets one run at the beginning of the second quarter, one run at the end of the third quarter, and that's kind of all we see of him. On the converse, Smart and Derek White seem like the most important players in this series for me, for the Boston Celtics. One, they are going to need Smart offensively. Everyone knows. I mean, he's a defensive player of the year. He's a great defensive player. He's definitely going to have his work cut out for him against Curry and Klay. But I don't think that the Celtics can win games or this series without Smart being an efficient offensive player as well. You know, if they're able to kind of sag off of Marcus Smart, double Jason Tatum every time he gets the ball in the post, help over on Jaylen Brown, I think that's going to be a huge negative for them. And then I've alluded to this as well. I think the Celtics should not play Horford and Williams together that much. I think probably the lineup I would play the most, or for example, if I was Ime Udoka, my closing lineup would be Smart, White, Brown, Tatum, and then one of Horford or Williams, depending on, you know, who's playing better, who, you know, kind of hot hand there at center. And so I'm reading into that, and I like Derek White probably a little bit more than the field. And then again, Klay and Wiggins, they're just going to have to play a ton. They should both kind of be in that 28 to 35 point range. And Klay, obviously, I mean, we've all seen Klay get hot, right? It's like the guy doesn't even need a dribble. He doesn't even need to look at the basket sometimes, and it's going in. So when Klay is below, like, let's say 8,500 in the series, I will be looking at him for sure.
Yeah, let me ask you one other thing before we end on this series here. I was, you know, on my other show, on the Newswire, I was going over some of the odds to win the NBA MVP. And Davis, we were running through a lot of the different names and the possibilities. And the one name that, look, if Golden State wins, I think Curry was plus 105. And that makes a lot of sense. But, and I know you have him in the lineup tonight. Why? It feels like Wiggins is just not getting talked about enough. And his contribution that he's had in some of these games and the way that, you know, he's played in them too. I'm not saying that he's going to win the MVP of the finals. But, you know, Draymond Green is not, and Draymond Green was a different player probably, what, you know, 6-7 years ago when they were winning championships. Maybe the same could be said for Klay Thompson. I don't know. It feels like Wiggins is a big part of this series, no?
I mean, they're not going to win if Wiggins has a bad series, right? Because Wiggins is super instrumental. I mean, I would assume he's basically going to spend 35 minutes a night up in Jason Tatum's jockstrap, right? I mean, that's like, they're not going to ask Draymond to do that. Draymond is an amazing defender, a defensive player of the year candidate, but not in isolation. He is probably the most intelligent defensive player in the NBA right now. He is like, he always kind of leads the league in deflections and things like that. But in terms of Wiggins, slap your hands on the ground, you know, get in the stance and stop Tatum from getting a layup. Like, that is going to be Wiggins' job. The reason why I mean, how often do you get a guy winning finals MVP because of defense? I mean, Iguodala did, right? And people right. kind of go back on that because it meant that Curry does not have a finals MVP. But I don't think defending Jason Tatum yet quite has the same cachet as defending LeBron James, which is why Andre Iguodala won that. I mean, to me, if I was going to take kind of a stab at one of these markets, it would be Clay, right? So Clay just, you know, goes absolutely unconscious for two games or something like that, and that kind of gets him up there. What I thought was most interesting about the futures market was that on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Tatum is actually favored overall, right? Over Curry, over Clay, over everyone. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, I wonder why that is. And I think the answer is, if the Celtics do win this series in six or seven games, I mean, there is zero chance anyone's winning it but Tatum, because Tatum will have averaged like, you know, 42 points a game, something like he would just have to go so nuclear for them to win. Which I don't know. You do not see that very often, where the finals MVP favorite is not from the team that's favored to win the series.
Yeah. I thought Curry was plus 105 as the favorite to win the MVP from what I saw yesterday or the day before. So that's surprising to hear for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality and the Sports Grid 60. So stay on the grid for that. Coming up at 3 o'clock Eastern, Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast. Make sure you catch it. So Carver and Dane are on that one. And I believe I'm appearing this afternoon at 3:40 Eastern after my show on Newswire. So we got a busy day ahead for you here on Sports Grid. Stay on the grid. We're back in just a couple of minutes with a little fantasy or reality. Go ahead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Nish and David Maddox, of course. We got the NBA Finals coming up tonight. But Davis, I think you're going to have to like sort of manage your TV tonight. What are you going to do? I think you got a hockey game to watch tonight too.
Yeah, I will be NBA on the iPad, Colorado Avalanche on the TV, which is, by the way, for the match last night, I had the match going on the iPad, and we got one episode left of Stranger Things. We cranked out one more, you know, 90 minute long episode of Stranger Things. I don't know if you watched that. I mean, I can't explain it. It is such good TV to me. I mean, the no professional golfers being involved, I thought maybe would have made it play pretty slow, but it was actually great. I mean, that was probably my favorite viewing experience of the match. You know, also the rules they used, I thought were pretty good. I'm going to steal the rules they use the next time I scramble with my buddies. So the way they did it was each team could pick a drive, and then you played your own ball from there. Every player got one mulligan, and you could move your ball from your drive. You could move it a club length either way. So if you were behind a tree or, you know, just barely in the rough or whatever, you could move it one club length in any direction. I mean, I thought it was great. It was really good.
Cool. All right. Time for some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, look, fantasy football's been a hot topic this week, not because there's any football going on, just because of the stories that have been percolating with Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson, Mike Trout, and this fantasy football league debacle. We just had Brad Ziegler on the show talking about it as well. Naturally, you and I have been playing fantasy sports for a long time, me longer than you, probably 30 years, but that's just because of age. Fantasy or reality, Davis, I think that's a fair question to ask at this point. You are a fantasy league commissioner, and I suppose that this could qualify for anything: baseball, football, basketball, golf, anything else.
No, because I've been in the position to do it, and I have no interest. I mean, I cannot think of anything in fantasy sports that I actually have less interest in. I don't want to legislate amongst my friends. The most important thing is I don't want to collect the payments. I don't want to, you know, put them in Venmo or whatever. I have literally zero interest in this. So anytime it's ever been like, oh, you know, who's going to be commissioner, who's going to run this, 0%. I don't want to. Total fantasy. I very much empathize with Mike Trout here. He didn't want to get drug into this. He didn't want to deal with this. He does not care about Jeff Wilson Jr.'s IR status. Does not care one iota. Is so pissed that this is influencing him in any way. Being a commissioner, worst job in fantasy sports, no question.
Yeah, I have been a fantasy commissioner in baseball for a long time. I ran a National League only draft for many, many years, Davis. And 2020 came, and you know what happened was there was no season, you know? And I was like, ugh, do we really want to do this season in 2020? It's 60 games. Doesn't seem, you know, like we want to do it. So we did not, and the draft did not come back in 21. So unfortunately, after running the NL League for about 20 years, it did not come back. So I am no longer a fantasy commissioner. That was the only league that I was a commissioner of. It was sort of thankless. Not a lot of beef, I would say, throughout the season. You know, just getting paid at the end, it was annoying sometimes. Yes, it's amazing that you could be an adult and participate in a league that's under like $500 and you still have to like scrap together the money to pay. I kind of at the end instituted no pay, no draft, which definitely changed things, made it a lot better. But no, I'm not a commissioner right now currently of any fantasy league. So maybe that will change. Maybe I'll jump back into baseball as far as being a commissioner is concerned next season. We'll see. All right. Yesterday there was a friendly on the pitch between the United States and Morocco. Of course, the World Cup is coming up in just a few months. And Christian Pulisic, who of course plays for Team USA, very upset with the passion and the fans that I guess did not show up to see Team USA. Davis, fantasy or reality, that this was you know, basically it called for last night. Do you think that he was in the right?
So I am of two minds about this. I mean, one, like England is going to play a totally meaningless game on Saturday, and they're going to be playing, I believe they're playing in Hungary, and the stands are going to be absolutely jam-packed full of England fans. Argentina and Italy last night played a super meaningless game. I mean, literally no one cares about this game, but people flew in from Argentina, people flew in from Italy, they played it in London. Don't ask, but like there's soccer's so weird, but I could explain the specifics to you if you care. And these stands are always packed. So if the United States wants to be treated as an elite team, internationally, a team that should win the World Cup, et cetera, et cetera, yeah, I mean, then U.S. soccer fans should behave the way that fans of other countries' national teams behave. However, I think I've talked about this on the show before. I don't really consider myself a U.S. men's national team fan because I view it as one of the biggest disgraces in the advancement of our country, which maybe is overstating it, but we should be the best soccer team on earth. We have 300 million people. We spend a bunch of money on athletics as a country. Right. So this is not true of other really big countries like India, China, Russia, et cetera. Like they don't spend the money to develop their athletics. There's really no excuse for the fact that we are the 30th, 25th best soccer team in the world. And the reason why it's set up this way, Craig, you are probably familiar with this as a parent of a 10-year-old child. If you want your kid to play soccer, you got to spend a lot of money. The traveling teams cost a ton of money. I mean, even getting a super talented kid inside of the U.S. youth team national setup costs the parent, I mean, I would conservatively set it $10,000, $15,000 a year just to have them involved with the youth teams. I mean, it's the exact opposite of how it works in England, South America, et cetera, where the youth setup pays you. You get money. You get it's of a benefit to your family to be involved in the national setup. So I hate this. So I'm actually I don't know. I can't answer fantasy reality because I'm so of two minds about it.
Yeah, I would say fantasy, and I guess it's like it just goes back to the same thing. It's that my prediction for soccer, Davis, is that because of the things that you've said, obviously I'm on board with you with all of these things. I just don't think it's ever going to change. Like we've had a long enough period of time for it to change in this country, I think. And I just don't think it's going to happen. Soccer worldwide is extremely popular. There's no question, but there's always going to be a faction of this country that cannot be get behind a 1-0 game. I just don't think that's ever going to change. Now, for me personally, I have nothing against soccer, and I'm aware of its popularity and how many people love it and how many kids play it, and the select cities around the United States where they have these FCs and they have the MLSs and 30,000 people are going, or 20,000 people are going. I get all that. But I think if it was going to change, it would have changed already. And the perception would have changed already. And I just don't think it's going to change. So this player coming out and saying that the fans, he's disappointed. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, if you were here, I mean, he's probably in his 20s. If he was here 30 years ago, he would understand that the advancements are really not there on the men's side. The women's side, obviously, is fantastic. And they're winning the World Cup and all that. So fantasy for me on this one. Actually, I'm probably more interested in our next topic. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard spent the last few weeks in Fairfax, Virginia, arguing over a defamation lawsuit. Johnny Depp sued Amber Heard because of the op-ed that she wrote in the Washington Post. He sued her for, I believe it was $10 million. The jury deliberated for a couple of days. They determined that Johnny Depp was defamed in this op-ed and awarded him $10 million in damages, to where Amber Heard's going to somehow, Davis, have to pay this. I'm not really sure, honestly, how Amber Heard is going to end up having to pay this. I guess she could pay from the previous, you know, divorce or whatever that was involved in. I don't know. I guess I've kind of revealed that I know a little bit about this, but fantasy reality, Davis, you followed the Johnny Depp Amber Heard defamation case.
Yeah, I didn't really. To be honest, I just found it very depressing because I think it became pretty clear that Johnny Depp was going to win this case. And, you know, I just think it's kind of the, I feel like it really is just an example of how misogynistic our society is, that basically Amber Heard was clearly, I mean, all that I've read is like a couple articles from The Guardian and The New York Times about the article. And all of the evidence seemed to suggest that she was clearly a victim of some very mean-spirited abuse. Now, that does not mean that on, you know, the converse, that Amber Heard was not, you know, very, you know, whatever, abusive, rude, what, however you'd like to phrase it. I don't think either side here seems like they're an angel. It both seemed, it just seemed like a deeply unhealthy relationship. But basically, I found it to be very depressing. And just depressing in general that this was like the number one thing on the internet for weeks and weeks. So I opted out of this discourse, and I think I'm pretty happy that I did do that. So this is a fantasy.
Yeah. So what was really fascinating about this, Davis, was that I didn't know it was happening, and I didn't know it was coming, and I didn't know until about 3 or 4 days that it was like readily available to watch on TV and on YouTube. So I did not watch any of it. And then all of a sudden, these videos, Davis, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 3 minutes, start popping up. And I was in. I was watching these videos. And I wanted to, you know, hear what they had to say. You know, it's funny. You know, in the end, I think that if you just simply judged it by, you know, who won the case because of the attorneys involved, and I suppose that's how we're judging this. Like, if I was watching this and I was a juror, I also would have, you know, been on the side of Johnny Depp, basically watching this. Just because, Davis, I just don't think that Amber Heard came off very well in this. Now, whether or not all this stuff happened, we'll never really know, right? But I just didn't, she wasn't very likable. I don't know if you felt that way, but I just did not find her likable in this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she did. But I mean, some of the most damning thing to me was that a bunch of like Johnny Depp's text messages, you know, became part of this trial, you know, due to discovery, and they were like gruesome. I mean, things I cannot ever imagine saying about another human being, much less someone that you are supposed to, you know, love or protect or care. I mean, it's really just so depressing, right? That, like, I don't know. I kind of feel the same way I feel about this that I do with like our society's fascination with like true crime. You know, true crime is what $5 billion a year industry. And like, that cannot say anything good about us as like a species that we are so fascinated by, you know, all this terrible stuff. That's my take on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, just for the theater, I think that's why I was more involved in it. And yeah. Listen, Johnny Depp was very interested in making this more about theater. And for that purpose, yeah, he won the case. So, all right, we will take a quick timeout coming up next. It is time for a little Sports Grid 60, and then we'll turn it over to the early line as Kevin and Donnie are standing by for that. We will be back here. I will be back here live at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. So make sure you join us then. In addition, we have our Friday edition tomorrow coming of Fantasy Sports Today. I believe Jim Sanis will be on with us, as well as Gray Albright. So we'll preview the NASCAR weekend and fantasy baseball weekend ahead as well. With that, we take our final timeout here on the show, and then we're back with the Sports Grid 60 in just a couple of minutes. So stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as we get ready to wrap up the show. Tomorrow on our program, we'll have a recap of NBA Finals Game 1. We'll talk some fantasy baseball as well as NASCAR as well. But before we end today's show, let's turn it over to Davis Matic as he's got today's Sports Grid at 60.
You know, Craig, in April and May, it basically felt like we didn't have time to take a breath. We had the NFL draft. We had the baseball season starting. We've had two majors in golf in the last month. We had a major that is wrapping up in tennis, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. But right now, this like next 2 weeks does feel like a pretty good spot to take a breath. You know, there's only going to be NBA games once every three nights once the teams start traveling, only one game a night in the NHL. Teams are at organized team activities for football right now, but they'll be leaving those soon. So I for one, and the soccer season, by the way, has concluded. So I, for one, am kind of excited to have these next 2 weeks to kind of just take a chill pill because, obviously around the start of July, it's going to be coming thick and heavy.
Yeah, no doubt. And fantasy football season right around the corner. So I have a lot of family members that are originally from New York. It's just kind of the way that it worked out. And boy, they seem to think that this is going to be the year of the New York Mets. My goodness, the Mets just keep playing and they keep winning and they don't lose. And they're in first place by like 13 games or 12 games or 10 games. And it's only on June the 2nd. And by the way, the Mets do not have Max Scherzer or Jacob deGrom. So it just lends you to the question to believe that is this the year that the Mets dial it back to 1986 and win the NL pennant, maybe even win the World Series? I don't know, but they're definitely off to the best that I remember in a long time. That'll do it for the show today. Thanks to Brad Ziegler for popping on the program, talking a little fantasy football with us. Of course, thanks to LTN, thanks to Danny on the graphics, as well as Ryan for my producer, Brett Lee, being host Davis Matic. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I'll be back here at 2 for NewsWire.